Greg Tisch is with me today. He's going to talk a lot about his career in Tallahassee, now host of the Greg Tisch Show. And in the first hour, I'll have Danny Bedrosian. He is an accomplished musician, having toured with George Clinton for many years, and you're going to enjoy this. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
We're back and we're ready for another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. As you know, online at TallahasseeTalks.com, you can go to our archived library of shows from around, 10 years next month. We start our 11th season in February. Wow. I don't feel that much older. What's that old thing about the more I learn... the more I learn, the more I know, the more I know, the more I forget, the more I forget, the less I know. So the more I learn, the less I know. Yeah, I think that's how that goes. Isn't that right, Carl? Isn't that how that goes? Yeah, Carl's like, just move on. So we're moving on here with other news from around town. City of Tallahassee wants you to help them reimagine the Northwood Center site. Northwood Center site. As you know, the prior buildings have been leveled, and so apparently the city hasn't quite yet figured out what to do with it, and they need our help to reimagine, it says. The Northwood Center site community outreach continues. We got a public meeting scheduled for January 20. The meeting will be held at the Tallahassee Senior Center. It's up there on North Monroe Street, not far from this site in question. And the meeting is from 6 until 7:30 p.m. Construction, it says here, of the new Tallahassee Police Department headquarters is a key component within the redevelopment of the Northwood Center. If you recall from some months ago, year or so ago, city purchased all of this property, and that raised the ire of some and skepticism of others. It's a done deal. Additionally, the site presents opportunities for green space, community amenities, and other economic development projects. So community input is needed to best determine how these people can get reelected. So that the community is best served. The city will use this input to aid in the development of a long-term master plan for the parcel. So that's by way of City of Tallahassee. You want to learn more about it? talgov.com/Northwood Project. If you're unable to attend, you can actually email these folks with your feedback, northwoodproject@talgov.com. So there you go. Also, this coming Monday, here we are on Saturday the 15th. Well, it happens, of course. Martin Luther King Jr. Day is Monday the 17th. The city is concluding their several days of celebration and recognition with a day of activities going on Monday. It begins at 9 o'clock. The NAACP march from CK Steel Plaza to the Capitol. That goes on for a couple hours. And then at 11:30, you can visit all of the vendors, food, art, crafts, and more along Adams Street from City Hall to the chain of parks. So that's kind of cool. Hopefully you can, you know, brave the colder weather. Come on, you've been asking for this. It's here, so don't complain about how cold it is. So that's all of that. And then about 12:30, you want to take your seat as the inaugural MLK Jr. Day Parade begins. Starts at Cull Street and heads south. Along North Monroe Street. So that's kind of cool. So there's a parade, and then at 2:30, there is a hearing of panelists from a various number of groups and such to discuss, I suppose, race relations. They're entitling this Day of Dialogue on Adams Street, and that's at 2:30. Then at 3:30, you can end the day with live entertainment by community groups and the one and only Tallahassee Nights Live, and they'll be on stage there near City Hall. That goes from 3:30 till about 6. Want you to wear your mask if you're doing this, even though you're outdoors, because, you know, it's important. And then other CDC guidelines or guidance is being encouraged. If you want to learn more about the whole thing, go to talgov.com. So there you go. There's a couple of things. One last announcement. Recall, I've shared this with you, so I'm asking you to recall that we have an opportunity for business owners, especially owner-operated businesses, looking to hire and retain employees. Big issue right now. And with that, Cheryl Barlow, who is the agency director for Capstan Marketing, one of our affiliate companies, she's got a program that'll help you develop and promote the recruiting and retention of employees. So there's a good thing. What you want to do is email her, Cheryl@capstanmarketing.com. That's important. Cheryl Barlow. Email again, Cheryl, S-H-E-R-Y-L, at capstanmarketing.com. Or you can call her, 507-398-8604. Gather information about the positions you have open. She will help you in writing job descriptions, which is the most critical step in this process, and help you develop social media posts and teaser copy, all this kind of stuff. All of it designed to get people to come to you with your offerings of job opportunities, and they're going to just be standing at your door. That's the idea. Well, at least if you get two or three, that'd be good. So she's very adept at all of this. Cheryl is an amazing marketer and business owner and longtime associate with various companies, and has a pedigree. Her client list is formidable, including the Mayo Clinic. So all that is going on, my friend, and we're glad that you're a part of this here radio broadcast. I mentioned our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. You can also email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. A lot of times people are saying, hey, why don't you have so-and-so on the show? Well, you know what? We listen. And for that reason, I've got Greg Tisch coming in the second hour of today's broadcast. And Greg, as so many of you know, has been in and around Tallahassee for, a couple of decades or better. A longtime favorite for various gatherings as a artist, a DJ, bringing all kinds of entertainment in that fashion to a lot of different groups, fundraisers and private groups and businesses, and just an all-around good guy to know. Of late, he is the host of The Greg Tisch Show, which airs weekday mornings from 6 till 9 a.m. on 93.3 FM, Real Talk in Tallahassee. So it's kind of a neat thing that we get to have him all to ourselves for a good portion of the second hour. You're going to learn a lot about his own personal history, but he's got an interesting perspective, too, on Tallahassee's current status and our future. It's always a hot topic around this town. A lot of movers and shakers trying to shake things up or move things around. And then you have those who are looking to hold on to the past, you know, and kind of stand in the way of any kinds of change or progressive sort of thinking. So we're going to get into that a bit with Greg, and you are going to stay in tune with us, Tallahassee Talks, with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Danny Bedrosian has long been a fan of mine, and I'm starting to warm up to him. So this is good. There's a kind of equity that we're coming to. Eventually, I'll admire him as much as he admires me. I admire him to this degree that he is probably the most tenacious musician that I know personally, and I know quite a few, but he is a guy who not only has wanted to be doing what he does now since he was like a kid, a little guy, he wanted to tour with George Clinton. So he kind of set that over here as, you know, things I will do in my lifetime. And that's a story we're going to get into a little bit if he's willing to share with us. Let me welcome our very good friend and the friend to at least three or four other people that I can think of, Danny Bedrosian. Hi, Danny.
Brian, so glad to be back on the show.
And may I say, as host of Danny on Everything, full transparency here, we are fellow broadcasters on Moose Magnificat, which all of you quickly are on your feet saying, yes, Moose Magnificat, your favorite radio station that comes to you on the web, a streaming station, to my knowledge, Tallahassee's only streaming station, and I think that's fair, that at least is exclusively the one playing all local musicians, their original songs, all of the time. So Moose Magnificat also then features Danny on Everything, which occurs every month. And usually it's like the first Friday and then the following Sunday.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
First couple of weeks of the month. And the timing of that, Danny, is really about your travel schedule and the opportunity to really grab hold of some of these people that you've brought to the mic.
True.
And that has been an adventure, hasn't it?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, I'm a fan of the station as well. And I was telling Carl just recently, you know, I listen to the app. I have the app on my phone. And so I'll listen to it periodically sitting on my deck or just in the living room with the kids. And if Tallahassee Talks comes on, it always stays on. If it's something else, I might listen to like one song and then maybe turn it. Maybe
no, wait a minute.
A couple songs.
As you say that, you're winking at Carl.
No,
so
I'm serious. I told Carl. Carl can tell you. He can attest to this.
Okay.
I said I always because I love the content. I love the interviews.
Well, so we love it when we have people like you who love us.
Oh well, it's
so we're very careful about who we ask to be on the show.
Nice. Well, I'm honored to be on the show and to share the broadcasting.
You have to be a big fan of the Moose before we allow you through the door.
Right.
Honestly, I've had a fair amount, a fair number of folks who had never heard of me before, which is probably to their good. But they have come to say, wow, this show has really kind of opened up the doors for me on a lot of different issues, more on a personal level.
True.
Where people will talk with me about stuff and they'll say after the show, I've never told anybody that before in my life.
Right.
And so I think what happens here, like what you're doing with Danny on Everything, you give people an opportunity.
Exactly.
To just kind of sit back and open up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, right, it's not a Q&A, it's not an interview, it's really some people that get together and want to be able to see where the conversation goes.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the way? Because to me, that's real life, that's what we do.
Yeah.
In the last number of months, even going on a couple of years, you've had a lot of things going on, so we're going to let you kind of take this and go with it. Professionally, like all musicians, certainly domestically, yeah, it's just been a nightmare. And you've been able to find a way. I know you've played locally with Over Under.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the Chop House.
True.
Up there in Thomasville.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about what's going on with you musically.
Yeah, well, I also do Junction at Monroe.
Ah.
And very periodically Blue Tavern.
Very good.
But the ones that I do the most in this order would be Chop House,
yeah.
Over Under, Junction at Monroe. Those are the ones.
And Russ is a good guy.
Oh, he is. Russ is a real good guy.
Yeah.
I do a Sunday brunch there once
nice.
A month.
Nice.
And I do 1 to 2 gigs a month at the Over Under solo, and then Chop House between 4 and 6
right.
gigs a month. So I stay busy. But before I was comfortable enough to even do that, and when it was real kind of
dicey.
Alpha, beta, gamma era of COVID and early Delta, I wasn't really with playing gigs.
Yeah.
So all during that point and at the very beginning of COVID, when I'd actually gotten COVID myself, I stayed working throughout. Like I finished 2 albums on COVID and on bad COVID too, like hospitalized COVID. I still finished 2 albums. I did a request
You're
line.
You're an idiot.
That was
You're stupid. You know that?
I did a request
Normal
line.
Normal people
that
would say,
that
I'm sick. I'm going to take some time away.
No. My practice regimen was like 5-6 hours a day. I did a request line of people could request any song, any genre, give a donation. And that's how I paid a lot of my hospital bills.
Well, that does play into it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And let me interrupt you with that because, folks, if you don't know this guy, and I've said at the outset, this is a remarkably talented musician, not only in terms of his musical diversity, but when he says, you know, any song, you just tell me and I'll play it. I remember you sharing the story that you had gone out on your own and learned all of George Clinton's music in every key. So that no matter what he threw at you, you'd be able to respond in the positive.
Yes, I think I.
Who does that?
Well, primarily,
you did that.
I'm a pretty good transposer in general, anyway. So like the transpose thing, and my daughter gets it too. She's even better than I am. My 6-year-old can do it better than I can now. That's how good she is. But I was always a pretty good transposer as a kid and a teenager, And that's when I was first starting to train, learning P-Funk music. And yeah, I wanted to learn the whole canon. I wanted to approach it the way a classical musician would approach it if they weren't so egotistical about anything besides classical music.
Which is hard to find.
And I was always, I mean, I really am that, I don't mean to say purist, but I really come from that concert pianist. That was my
sound.
Yes, piano only for a very, very long time, you know.
Yep.
When I did start playing in bands, you know, when I was like a preteen, I was still concert pianist. Like I was still practicing for concert piano every day. And to this day, what I practice is classical music.
You know, it's
so
in an analogous way, I'll say it's sort of like engineering and art.
Yes.
You know, the engineering part of that whole enterprise involves the technical and the technique and all of that. And then you bring to it, you know, that right brain side of that intuitive, artsy, you know, expressive sense, right?
Romantic, that whole feeling, the live performance, improvisation, all the things that go with that, of course.
Right.
And I counted on, you know, I said to myself, if I can approach this the way we approach the music that we've studied, you know, Then you know, and still have, but really approach with the feel. Feel was always important to me, even as a concert pianist.
Yeah.
I think if I was super clinical type of concert pianist, maybe that wouldn't, that music would have never appealed to me in the first place. But the fact that Bernie Worrell, my mentor and the original keyboard player, was also classically trained says a lot about P-Funk itself. I think most classical people can pick out or feel where, oh yeah, this is kind of like Bach,
where
or this
that
is
comes
like,
from.
Yeah, this
because,
is
because I can, they can hear and maybe even feel the structure, the
yes,
chord structure,
the influence,
and
things
and
like
how,
that,
how it relates. Well, folks, we're talking with Danny Bedrosian. He has graciously agreed to be a part of this. And I say that without any exaggeration because, by golly, this is a guy who, even if he's sick and dying, is out there working to try to keep things on the bubble. And it's a pleasure to have you, brother. We're going to get into talking more about P-Funk and about your own music and all the other artists that you're helping and just, you know, more of how much you like me. So that's important. Folks, stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers Spacious Showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453. I will try not to sing out of
key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how we're back. We're talking with Danny Bedrosian. The name of your band is Something Fierce.
That's my Tallahassee band.
Tell me about the Okay, so you have bands in every...
Well...
No.
I have a touring band, Secret Army, that when we're not playing a lot with George Clinton and when the pandemic isn't happening, Secret Army also tours.
Okay, so they're Secret Army.
Something Fierce has basically been my... whatever my band in Tallahassee is since about 2005. And it's changed over the years, personnel
different
and stuff
players,
like that. People come and go and come back.
Yeah.
But it's always centered around sort of my solo music and sometimes other stuff too, whatever I feel like doing in that moment.
For those who are uninitiated and who don't even understand or know what P-Funk is all about.
Sure.
Because that in and of itself is almost its own genre, don't you think?
Definitely.
And I was trying to get this straight in my head. I don't think that I will, but... my understanding is that Clinton's work, you know, P-Funk itself, was it called Parliament?
Parliament Funkadelic.
Funkadelic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the longest running band
pretty much
in America.
I mean, yeah.
It's one of.
Yeah, it's probably the longest running popular music group of all time. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah.
67 years and the largest discographical output of any one production unit of all time, 750 plus releases, which segues me to the my little promotion. I just finished writing a new book, and we're shopping it for publishing right now.
Wow!
And it's called The Authorized P-Funk Song Personnel Encyclopedia, 1955 to 2021.
How cool!
And it's all the songs released by all things that can be considered canonical P-Funk. And who played and sang on those songs, in chronological order.
So for the aficionado or even the casual fan, I grab this thing and I can go to the reference I need so I know more about the story of the music.
610 pages,
golly.
All based on primary sources, because I was a history major. I went to school for history, so I know legitimation, primary sources are the most important part of a good monograph.
Wow. Yeah, I'd love to see the references section of that
insane
book.
Well, it's in the book, too. That's also in the book.
Wow.
And a list of, it's 60-plus interviews band members throughout the years. Including 15 plus hours with George Clinton himself, detailing in minutia the exact players, singers, sometimes even hand claps and all kinds of stuff for each song. Something I've been working on for a long time, but finally really buckled down and started typing.
That's amazing. Tell us the title again.
It's the Authorized Song the Authorized P-Funk Song Personnel Encyclopedia.
The Authorized P-Funk
Song Personnel
Song Person
Encyclopedia. Because that's what it is. It's okay. Basically an encyclopedia of all the P-Funk songs, so you can get a list of all the songs that are considered Sweet. P-Funk, and the artists too, all the different artists and Goodness. Bands, and who played and sang.
And
those
this
songs.
Is being released now.
Yeah, soon? 2022. I hope we're currently shopping it to a number of different publishers, both sort of mainstream publishers, academic. Publishers like universities.
You know it's going to get picked up. I mean, this is a matter of time.
Yeah, well, it's to me, it's a huge, important work, not just for, again, the aficionados of P-Funk, but musicologically speaking.
Right.
I feel like HBCs could pick this up. Yes. I feel like music schools could pick this
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
History of American, 20th century
it
American.
It would be required reading if you're a musicologist, yes. for heaven's sakes.
Or... And people, you know, there are so many big celebrities, well-known people that are huge fans of P-Funk. And I've seen so many times on the road, like I remember one time, who was it? You know, like Quentin Tarantino and Jamie Foxx fighting over who sang on whatever song on the Motor Booty Affair. Was it this person? Was it that person? Like, people like that. People like Flea are big P-Funk fans from the Chili Peppers. You know, the Chili Peppers or Snoop Dogg or like all these different people that are huge fans of this music. They, too, want to know these things. And then the diehard fans, you can go on Facebook and see about 100-plus different Facebook groups dedicated to P-Funk and all they do. Is argue about who actually was playing the banjo on this song or whatever it would be.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, that's been a big endeavor.
You talked about the impact of COVID in the last 2 years, which is an understatement. I mean, it's been devastating in many respects and losses that cannot be recovered, not to mention those businesses particularly in this conversation, venues that have closed and will not be back.
Right.
We're fortunate that Blue Tavern and Jam and BBC, they're still kicking. And, and you know, but we did a little quick ride through Thomasville the other day.
Yeah.
And there are some folks up there that have just shuttered and said, sorry, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the business of touring, apart from your own personal health concerns, because that remains.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be, is there now any kind of reemergence of that, or is it everything still in a very tenuous status?
Well, to give you an idea, you know, I'm a pretty good example of somebody you can ask this, because when we are on the road with George, we could be on the road anywhere between 290 and 340 days a year. So it's a full, you know, like full touring type of lifestyle. Yeah. With that in mind, it really stopped for us from about April of 2020 till June of 2021. So
about a full year there.
Yeah. So starting in June of 2021, P-Funk, for example, started going out and playing. And we started seeing a lot of our contemporaries doing the same thing. Mm. Now, not full-on tours, because it seemed like all the bands that were coming back with full tours were all getting COVID. So we are doing like a few shows a month. So in addition to the 8 or 9 local shows a month I'm doing, we're still doing like 2 or 3 P-Funk shows a month in all different places, specifically places that are really starting to do live music again, New York, LA, but also other places in Middle America and the South and the other parts of the East Coast and things like that.
Yeah. Our audiences as... You know,
Wanted more
involved.
Yeah, more involved. In my opinion.
So we have as many or more in attendance.
Yeah, attendance. Yeah, for the most part. I mean, depending on the control of the situation. So, like, certain states don't allow more than a certain number, and certain venues are only allowing half capacity in certain places. Right. But a lot of our shows have been outside, at least in the warmer months. You know, from June through October, where pretty much every show we did was outside.
Right.
So that makes a difference. That allows you to have bigger crowds and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it has been really bad for the venues. I do feel bad about that. One thing I've noticed, though, is a lot of people, both within and outside of the touring system, have found really ingenious ways to make it work. You know, like, in a lot of ways, you don't have a choice. You know, you say, like, oh, you worked while you still had COVID. Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it was an unprecedented time of not working. And then these hospital bills weren't making it any better. So for me, it was, you know, I completed My 18th album, the Secret Army Exaltation album.
Right.
And that was in the midst of a war between my ethnic back people's home country, Armenia and Azerbaijan. So some of the proceeds went to relief efforts for the civilians who had been in bombed out places and things like that. Mm. And completed that on COVID. Completed my 19th album with producers from Armenia, the Brothers Nalbandian, and it's been considered one of my best albums to date. Just last year was named in 5 or 6 different top 20 albums of 2021 type lists. Completed that during that time. Wow. Completed the second and almost a full third issue of my comic book, Sons of the Sun, during the pandemic lockdown. And then did the request line that I told you about. And also started 3 more albums that are in the works right
see,
now.
See, any self-respecting virus would look at you and go, nah, don't waste your time.
I don't bother with him.
Because he's not, no. He'll just kick you in the ass and you'll be done. So.
Yep. And then also piano lessons and raising 3 kids. And
you're making me tired, brother. Folks, we got to take a break because I'm wearing out. Come on. Let me take a breath. This guy's amazing. Danny Petrosian is our friend and our guest today. You stay with me. You're in touch with Tallahassee Talks.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Danny Petrosian. So apparently, if you have a good daily
regimen,
you can get all of this work done.
Yeah.
So you're talking about what is typically not associated with creative types, and you're certainly one of those. Artists generally are not known for their ability to maintain regiment and have all that discipline. I wonder if that harkens back to your early beginnings. Your parents were both educators and established a school of music. Mm-hmm. You and your sister both at a very early age were being disciplined about the regimen, what it takes to, you know, practice over and over and over. Not just the we'll say the muscle memory, I guess, the parts of that, but the mind.
Yeah.
You know, getting yourself to think in terms of, okay, I want to go from point A to point B, but then I got to go C, D, E, and F. How does that happen for you, since we're talking regimen? What does that look like?
Getting your mind around doing things you don't like, I think, is probably the biggest thing for us as human beings, at least me on a personal level. You know, if you can convince yourself, oh, you know, doing this thing on the days that I don't want to do it are going to actually help me, then if you can get past that wall, I think then you'll be great.
And you just
great.
Keep moving.
And, you know, like you said, a regimen, a daily regimen. Like for me, on the road, we have a regimen. But on the road, the biggest thing that's the most consistent thing about the road is inconsistency.
Yeah.
So, you know, one day you might wake up at 4 a.m. The next day you might go to bed at 4 a.m. and then the day after that it might be just totally different. So it's one of those things where you have to get used to that. But being at home, I've always been a pretty, I don't want to say regimented person, but I'm good with a regimen. When I have it, I do really well. I tend to thrive. So, you know, for me, it's a wake up, take the kids to school if it's one of those type of days. If not, run 2 miles, come back, practice at least 3 hours piano, then get down, do sit-ups, push-ups, planks. Once I'm finished with that, then it's creative time, whatever that might look like. It might be editing the comic book with my 2 artists that were working on the comic book. It might be sitting down and doing more business-related stuff like the publishing stuff with the book or my accounting.
Right.
Or it might be a very creative thing like sitting down and working on music, my own music, stuff like that, or doing sessions for people, which has really been the bread and butter. During off time anyway.
I've always thought that your music, your personal music, has a lot of jazz elements to it. Right?
Yeah, so which is very
exploratory, improvisational. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So if that is the case, and you do have opportunities locally to perform, are there, I guess, within those venues you've mentioned, you got what, four? Jam?
Yeah.
Blue Tavern. Mm-hmm.
Chop House.
Over Under.
Yeah.
And, you know, we won't get into this whole thing about why don't we have more of those venues.
Sure.
But if you had those four, is there an audience that you particularly enjoy playing for, or is it that way?
It's interesting because all four of those are different audiences.
That's what I was thinking.
I've noticed in Tallahassee it is a very interesting, disparate, like from club to club, even on the same street, it's a whole different crowd. I mean, which is fine.
I guess that's, Chop House is a dinner crowd.
Yeah, very much so. And I play pretty much all classical at the Chop House.
Right.
I don't sing at the Chop House, but I do sing at the other places.
You're the entertainment in the room.
Yes, indeed.
Feeling,
and it's a different type of performance.
When you're at jam, that's a stage.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. That's you bring up a good point, too, because like Chop House, that's not something everybody can do. And I don't just mean that like in a braggadocious way, and I also don't mean it just because it's classical and because you have to read. What I mean, actually, is that people who are... do it for the performance. I am one of those people.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of getting used to a performance like that. There is no applause. Right. It's not supposed to be.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And more importantly, your role is different.
Mm.
Your reason for being there is sort of different.
It's ambiance.
Wrapping your head around that as a performance musician could be hard for some classical people. And it's a classical gig. But I do enjoy it for the difference of it.
Well, fortunately, with COVID, it doesn't affect your mental ability, apparently, because you're able to maintain a sort of balance there.
Sure.
And because I would be worried about you if you just like went off and they come running out from the kitchen like, what's happened to Danny? And everybody in the restaurant has got that kind of cold stare going on. Well, in that regard, and you think about the shows that you've played local, Tallahassee, other markets, other communities around the world, you would prefer to be here or...
Not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, I like living here, for sure. It's a great place to raise a family. But as far as playing, it's not necessarily my favorite place to play. I mean, because I live here, but that's not taking anything away from playing here. I do love still playing here. But I love playing everywhere.
When you're out there playing in these other venues, are you playing big stage, small stage? Sounds like you like that intimate sort of.
I do, but P-Funk, P-Funk shows are usually really big.
Loud
the majority
and big.
Of the shows I've played in my life have been big stages, lots of people, very loud, and I'm down with all of that.
A lot of color.
But there's even a part of the show before one of the signature Funkadelic songs, Maggot Brain, where George has me do a monologue every night, and every night I do a different song from the catalog never really been done live before.
Very cool.
And I sing and play it, and it's just piano and vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So even in that huge, there's 28 people in the band, this huge raucous thing that goes on for 4 hours or whatever it is, there's still that sort of that moment, and like it's about the moments, and moments are important.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but for me, that's not even the most important aspect of performance. It's both. It's the dynamics. I've always been a dynamic player. I've always been into the highs and the lows and everything in between, and really the nuance of everything in between. And so I love that. I feed off of that.
He is a pianist, a performer, a songwriter, a producer. I guess you'd say a collaborator in producing this analog chronicled edition of P-Funk music and all that it means to the world.
Yes. Oh, and can I promote my new album? Brian. Can I promote my new album? Can I?
I was getting to that.
Okay.
I wanted to mention the comic book first because that's the best part of this whole story.
Sorry, my bad.
All right, tell us about your album.
Okay, well, I was going to say my 20th album just came out. And I wanted to find a new way to promote it because the special sort of circumstances of this music.
Huh.
So it's almost a compendium to go with the book in a way. It's an album of P-Funk rarity remakes.
Neat.
It's sort of remakes of some of my favorite songs in the catalog that some people know, some people don't. And it goes through three different sections of time. There's one, and there's many eras of P-Funk, but I just chose three. There's one sort of the Northern Soul early to mid 60s period. There's one sort of the mid 70s, and there's one sort of the late 70s, early 80s.
Very
Those
cool.
are the three I picked. But the only way people can get it is by joining my Patreon. So it's patreon.com/DannyBedrosian.
I like that.
And it's the only way. They get it as a free gift for buying the content of being a patron.
There you go.
And every month they get new stuff.
And Patreon's done a good job. We have a Patreon account for the show.
Yes.
And they are now doing merch. So yeah that's neat. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So it's what's the web address for there? For
you? So it's patreon.com/ Danny Bedrosian.
Danny Bedrosian, just mm-hmm. like it sounds.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And he is, among all these other wonderful things, the host of Danny on Everything that airs every month, the first and second week of the month. Danny on Everything.
Yes.
Check it out. Go to moosemagnificat.com. Make sure you're listening on a regular basis. And go to his Patreon account. Get this new album. And then just be a fan. Because yes, we love Danny.
I appreciate that.
And you know, and he needs the money because he's got... He's got more babies now. He's got hospital bills. And, dear God, he's got to trim that beard somehow.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, that's okay. Well, look who's talking. Folks, this is what we do. And anytime we have somebody like Danny Bedrosian, it makes it so much more enjoyable. Danny, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian. My pleasure, always.
Stay with me, folks. I got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Seller's Advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Seller's spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Seller's in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here. Glad that you've made it a part of your day. And it just, you know, it makes me happy to know that I'm not just sitting here talking to myself. I mean, I do that. I do talk to myself. Sometimes... Well, these days more often than I used to, I have to admit. I don't know if that's an age-related thing, part of the aging process. And I keep asking people if I'm having a good time yet, that sort of stuff. But it's okay, because you know what? You're there, and I'm here, and we're going to get through this together. And in this hour, I've got my good buddy Greg Tisch with me. He's going to bring us all kinds of neat stuff, good ideas and good news. And he's gone through a lot of personal, I would say, improvement and I don't know, what do you call that? A sort of rebirth, kind of a realignment of the innards. It's remarkable that I actually do this for a living. How pathetic. So Greg has lost weight. He's, you know, quit drinking and smoking, and, you know, he's still annoying, but he's in better health. So he's got more energy to be annoying, which is great, right? And so we like that. Hopefully we'll be able to keep him around for a little longer than we might otherwise have expected. And he's going to talk with us at length about his career and what's going on with 93.3 over there. His morning show, 6 to 9, the Greg Tisch Show. A lot of folks listen. I mean, and if you've ever done this, you go on Facebook and tons of folks that are listening and commenting on his remarks. He and Matty Rowe, you know, they get after each other, and they seem to have a very good time with that. And, it, you know, it's kind of nice to actually have a local show, because there's fewer and fewer of those kinds of things going on when you have corporate interests that are running the table, and I mean mega corporate interests, iHeart and Cumulus and Adams Group. I mean, these companies that own, you know, the majority of the stations in the market in Tallahassee and are, you know, nationwide. They're conglomerates, I guess you'd say. And, you know, it's generally speaking, not common anymore to have a local personality. They're just fewer and far between, I suppose. Fewer, harder to find. But Greg is one of those faithful. And he reminds me in that way of Art Myers, my good buddy. He and I were, golly, we were radio colleagues back in the late 70s, early 80s. That's how long Art and I have been hanging out with each other. And if you don't know, he retired recently, basically at the end of this last year, and WCTV did a fine job in giving him a great send-off. Guy was there, what was it, 32, 33 years? Remarkable. And you talk about having your act together, I mean, to be there, come rain or shine, every morning. So his rise time was 3:30, and he'd have to be on the air by 6. Yeah, he didn't do that for 33 years. But he's one of those people, like Greg, who just, you know, they're just that way. They just keep going and going and going and going. But along the way, they bring a lot of good to us. And at the very least, we get to hear somebody who isn't depressed or complaining necessarily, although complaints sometimes happen. But you get to find some good news in between those folds of dissatisfaction. There's some reason to think that, you know, Tallahassee still has a shot at being and becoming and evolving into a more positive force in the world, really taking our place in a broader way, but even in a deeper way, in a more inclusive way. And that doesn't necessarily mean diversity as it's often thought of with regard to race and ethnicity and gender and so forth. I really think it has to do more so with a kind of appreciation of our diverse labor force and socioeconomic status. You know, there's a lot of wealthy people in town. They, like any community, you know, the people with the money and the power, they do tend to run things their way. And in this community, it's been this sort of plantation way of thinking, what I've called plantation mentality, that encourages the rest of us to think and even accept the idea that, you know, we're getting the best we're ever going to get. And, you know, those indications show up when you find that Leon County is the most income entrenched in the country. I mean, just in terms of the raw data, those statistics that point to, and these are census data, that point to what happens when you're born and live in Leon County. The chances of you making more money than your parents are the lowest, the least likely in the country. Well, hopefully that's changing as we find more opportunity and more recognition of those people who really get the work done. And that's the vast majority of people who live in this metro area. I mean, four or five counties that make their living serving. And largely, you know, they're working in some form of government. You know, in the majority, you're going to find county, city, state, federal employees. That, you know, that's kind of how it rolls here. But in that, we've also discovered that we have a sense of culture and creativity. And that level of engagement in things that are perhaps lesser known, various styles of art and music and literature and, you know, live performances, performing arts and such. There are more and more efforts to include people who are not as well celebrated, perhaps, even in relation to business groups. You know, so there are now more than one chamber of commerce that incorporates minority business owners, that incorporates smaller business owners, and frankly just has established for us options, alternatives. And those alternatives then turn into greater opportunity for those who would like to do more with themselves, with their businesses, with their families, and with this community. In that regard, let me make a quick reference to our promotion for this quarter. This is a new effort on our part, and it's called the Unsung Heroes Award. The Unsung Hero Awards are granted to those who are most likely those you will never know. They're the people that are just like I've described. They're down there in the trenches. They're getting it done. They're volunteering their time. Whatever they're doing to make life a little bit better, they're not going to show up on the society pages. They're not going to be among the 25 women that you need to know, necessarily. If anything, they'd be the 25 people most likely you'll never know, because they just go about doing what needs to be done in a humble sort of way. So we're going to tell you more about the Unsung Hero Awards as we go forward in the weeks ahead. You stay with me. I've got Greg Tisch right here.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
If you've been in Tallahassee for any length of time, there's no way that you would not know Greg Tisch, at least by name. Because he's the one person I know among maybe half a dozen, maybe three or four, who in one way or another have had their fingers in so many different pies, you know, just different organizations and places around town and people that know things that he knows that they don't know that he knows. He's kind of that insider who, from my point of view, doesn't make a big deal about that. In fact, if anything, to me, Greg Tisch has always been the guy who's like over there just kind of hanging out. But he's true to his success, frankly. He listens very carefully and he remembers well. And he pays attention to the little stuff with people. And when I talk with people who know Greg, and either they know him personally or they've experienced with him his professional persona, he's out there performing in some capacity, emceeing some gig, or, you know, and not so much anymore, but in the days when he was doing the mobile DJ stuff or he was hanging out various organizations and fundraisers and stuff, I mean, he was the guy that everybody said, you know, I like Greg. He's approachable, and he pays attention. You know, he knows what needs to happen, and he gets it done. So it seems appropriate. Here we are at the beginning of 2022, and as we close out our 10th season in February, we'll be on the air starting our 11th year. What better way than to have Greg Tisch join us, and he is our guest today. Greg?
Good morning, my brother. How are you?
That's as much good stuff as I can make up about
that,
you.
I was getting a little embarrassed hearing that stuff. This is tough for me to be the interviewee.
Well, you know, it happens because when it comes to knowing how this town works, because that's really, for us, that was the sort of the impetus, the foundational motivation to even think about doing a talk show really had to do with better understanding this community, mm-hmm. who we are, why we are, and how we go about doing business. And in the 10 years that we've been on air, it'll take your breath away. There have been so many convoluted situations, whether it was in politics or business, money, economics, healthcare issues. And this is even outside of all of the COVID concerns, right? Crime and poverty and income inequalities and segregated communities. I mean, Tallahassee has, I think, experienced as much or maybe more than some of the big cities we think of, Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles, where you think about all of the challenges, we'll say, all the problems that a city faces. And here we are, a town of less than a couple of 100,000 people. And it's like, if we don't have a problem, we'll make one up. We'll we'll create a problem because we just love problems, apparently. But we all have in common this one thing, too, and that is that we love our trees. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, if we don't love anything else, man.
We love our trees.
We love our trees. What do you love most about Tallahassee?
The people. I mean, it's not even, that's a no-brainer. It's the people, whether it's somebody that just comes in just for a brief period of time or has been a lifelong friend of mine, somebody that I may have grown up with on the northeast side or somebody that I even may have grown up with the first neighborhood that we lived in off old St. Augustine when my parents moved here. But the people, because one of the things that I've always been able to count on is the people, whether it be through a different charity event or anything that I need some help with. Hearing a no is few and far between.
And in that regard, too, in those occasions over the years that you and I have had contact, and I've seen you in action, as a stage personality, we'll say, as somebody who is comfortable being up in front of a crowd of folks.
That's where I'm most comfortable. I am so uncomfortable right now. But if there was, you know, 600, 700 people here, I would be great.
We're just getting started. I know. Frank. I mean, I'm not even into the really squirmy stuff yet.
Wonderful.
So we have that to look forward to. But I was about to say you have presented, and I think you do. I think it's just characteristic of your manner. A kind of accessibility. And I parenthetically, I would say that's a humility because I don't get from you this thing that I do see a lot of times, whether it's people in, you know, in performance venues or if they're in some kind of leadership role. And there's that level of, well, you know, I'm better than you are. Maybe you didn't understand that. So let me explain it to you. You get that sort of message. I was talking to a friend of mine who was at the Amelia Island charitable event when the chamber was holding session over there. And he came back and he said, these people act as if their feet don't touch the ground. What's wrong with them? And he wasn't picking out any one individual necessarily. But it was just sort of that tone that characterized the event. That's how he described it.
See, and that I don't like hearing that because I get the exact 180 from that when I go over there.
Yeah.
And because I used to DJ over there for the party. So I would only work, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours for that entire weekend. But I was there the entire weekend.
Interesting.
And I got to hang out with people that were not accessible to me. This is years ago.
But I wonder, too, Greg, if that's because the people you hang with and were hanging with then were the everyday uncommon heroes, the people who were just down there in the trenches getting the work done. And I'm not trying to categorize anybody, mm-hmm. really, but just in comment, when you think about how it is that Tallahassee is different, and you say, I love the people. Well, the people I know that you love are the people who are like you in that respect. They don't put on airs. They don't prance around like somehow they're better than everybody else. Now, I mean, that goes on no matter where you live and no matter what you do, you're going to have that. But here it seems as though there's been a more, I don't know, direct comment being made publicly mm-hmm. about this elite, the people who are moneyed, the people who, you know, are the powerful and the rest who are the powerless. So among those of us, and I put myself there, who just kind of trying to get along with everybody, I feel like there's a kind of rising tide. There's a kind of, hey, you know what? Tallahassee is a special place. Let's agree that it's all of us, and
right,
not just a few of
us. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were to have your way, if you had a magic wand,
mm-hmm,
and you could just bonk everybody on the head, what would you want Tallahassee to be more?
Better drivers. I didn't hesitate on that. There's no editing on that. Yeah.
And less road rage. We won't go down that path because we could spend the hour talking about people that are just out of their minds, apparently, with that.
I think that the small town mentality on the roads is still out there, but unfortunately, the vast majority don't have the small town mentality of driving. Yep. And so when you put those together, that's a dangerous cocktail out on the road. Cell phones have, and I'm guilty of this just as much as everybody else, texting and driving is a huge problem. I just passed, when I was coming over for the interview, distracted driving accident. And I call it that because law enforcement says, you know, 90% of accidents in our town are distracted driving accidents. And so there was one right out on the northeast side, right in front of Killarn, where somebody had rear-ended somebody. It's, you don't rear-end people unless you're just not paying attention.
You're not looking.
Or you're going way too fast.
Folks,
but yeah, driving is what I would fix.
This is why Greg's here. He's going to help us slow down and pay attention. That's the key to surviving.
And use your turn signals.
For heaven's sakes. All right, we're going to continue this conversation. Stay with me, folks. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Host of The Greg Tisch Show every weekday morning from 6 until 9? Or 6?
6 until 9, that is correct. Very early in the mornings.
Makes my nose hurt to think about you being up, what is it, 4 o'clock?
Alarm goes off at 4.
Get it done. You know, Danny Petrosian was with us in the first hour, and he was talking about the kind of regiment that it takes to be that disciplined. I think of you, I think of Art Myers. You know, year after year after year, I've been doing this. How long have you had the Greg Tisch Show going?
We're going 3 years this past November. So we went on the air a week before Michael hit.
Wow.
And then we were off the air for 3 weeks, I believe, after that.
Ouch.
But it didn't stop us. That me and my former producer and also one of my best friends in the world, that Bobby Mack, we went out and just went on the iPhone and went and interviewed different local officials to get updates to get everything out there.
I'm
we did
here.
Food drives for our friends in Franklin County, and it was, we didn't just because we were off the air, it didn't stop us from doing stuff.
Right. And this is your hometown. You grew up here.
Grew up here. Was born in Nashville, and then we moved to Athens, West Virginia, a little bit after that. My dad was teaching at Concord University, and then we moved here probably when I was 3 years old, and my sister was born here.
Interesting.
But I've watched this town, you know, just explode.
You have. And in those early days of your life and through school, this was your dream job to have your own radio show?
To be a radio DJ was my dream job when I was at First Baptist Church, and we would have parties, and I would bring my cassettes in.
Look at that.
On a little tiny boombox.
Look at that.
And then change the cassettes out.
And your dad kept saying, don't you want to learn how to play basketball? Wouldn't that be fun?
They tried to get me to play basketball. It just wasn't my sport, even though my height. But I wanted to be a radio DJ, and then I got that opportunity. And my first shift was the night of the O.J. Simpson chase.
Oh, my gosh.
So nobody was listening to the radio that night.
Boy, I know the feeling. Mom, if you're listening, thanks.
Yeah, and that's where I met my current producer, Matt Rogers, or Matty Rowe. He worked at the same radio station that I did, and that's where we became friends.
Wow, how cool is that?
All those years ago.
So when you got going with the Greg Tisch Show, you had Bobby Mack, and when Bobby said, I got to go do something else, you got a hold of Matthew and said, "Hey, I need you to come work with me." Is that how that worked out? Or
basically? Well, yeah, that would be the good synopsis. Okay. The long story is that we had
he kept telling you to leave him alone.
We had interviewed many people, and some of them very well known. And we did air checks with them where we came in and did a full segment, and we were going to hire a very well-known personality to be my producer, and we were all set to do that. And Matt called, and he's like, "Hey, have y'all hired anybody?" And just to appease Matt, I asked John Jopling, our wonderful GM at Real Talk, I was like, "Can we just do an air check with Matt?" And we did an air check, and that was it. That was it. It was nothing against the guy we were going to hire.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a wonderful talent. He is a wonderful human being. He has done a ton in this community. But Matt was Babe Ruth. He just came up and knocked it out of the park.
Wow.
And he just blew us away. And that Matt continues to do that every single day on the show.
Very cool.
That he makes the show better. That's why I've started calling the show The Greg Tisch Show featuring Matty Rowe. Because I can't, he is an amazing human being, amazing father, amazing husband, and an amazing producer.
You know, there's a giftedness about a person who is interested in helping others achieve and helping others be celebrated. And I think that's what I have noticed over the years. And that's probably part of that whole DJ ambition. It's the idea that you can bring to us a bit of entertainment or humor or education or information, but you're interested in promoting the other guy, not yourself. Is that something you got from your parents? Was that kind of how you were reared?
It's gotta be. It's never been, I mean, as much as the spotlight and me, we go together well when I have a microphone in my hand. The spotlight and myself, not so much when there's not a microphone in my hand, but always making sure that my show would not be my show. And our show would not be our show without Matt. And that we have just, it's kind of funny that he and I, when we come in mornings, we just say good morning.
Hey, how are
we
you?
Don't have conversations.
Yep.
We just say, hey, he was like, how was your night? I was like, boring, because my night, every night.
Don't talk
boring.
To me right now.
But no, it's not a don't talk to me right now. It's because I want to talk to him on the air. And then I don't want to
steal the thunder.
Right. And I generally want to know, you know, how his night went, you know, what his kids are up to, what his wife was, what they did.
What's going
but
on.
But I want to find out completely on the air and not in a rehearsed,
sure.
fake kind of way.
Sure. You said you would encourage people to be safer drivers. If I gave you that same magic wand, and maybe it's the same answer, but what would you want Tallahassee to not be? You want more safety, more...
South Florida.
Say again?
South Florida.
Yeah.
I think that Tallahassee, that we're in a unique position in our state on where we are, there's the saying that the further south you go, the further north you go, the further north you go, the further south you go in Florida.
Yeah.
But so many are coming in and not embracing what Tallahassee is.
It really is.
And they're trying to bring in, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, but try to embrace the town before you try to change the town.
People
Does
have
that make
used,
sense?
Well, yes. And the people that have come here to talk with me about it have used terms like gentrification to some degree. I've also heard it said Disneyfication when it comes to some of these areas that have been remade. And I'm thinking of Gaines Street area and to some degree the Frenchtown community. Do you share that concern? Does it feel like somehow we're being edged out of our original kind of character or personality?
I think that there was, I try to learn as much as I can on the past of Tallahassee. I am a great student of Tallahassee history. I have David Brand that is used to work with at the Sheriff's Association, is a wonderful human being that knows more than anybody about this community. Jay Revel, who comes on my show every Friday, that we always talk about something different in Tallahassee. And I think that it's very important to learn the past so we just feel that it's being lost. And with areas like Frenchtown, I've lived here my whole life, I never really knew what Frenchtown was. And I was like, yeah, I know where Frenchtown is, but then I find out I've got another a great friend, Matt Lutz, mm-hmm. who knows tons about the city. I learned from these guys. And I was Matt Lutz's counselor at summer camp. He was one of my kids. And now I'm going to him going, hey, I need more information on this. But learning stuff is an amazing way. Do I see it changing in a bad way? I can't be the judge of that as of yet, because I look back at some of the changes, like moving the airport. Mm-hmm. Think about if the airport had remained where Messer Field is now, where TCC is now, what our city would look like now.
Yeah.
I think it would be a completely different city.
Yeah.
That you would have access to an airport so close to downtown instead of way out.
Right.
I think that would have changed the landscape of Tallahassee.
Right.
I think that with Gain Street, there is that need. I mean, in the pop-up, and although the architecture I'm not a big fan of down there, I'm a fan of the idea down there. I have wonderful friends that own businesses down there that are very successful down there that also give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
With the Frenchtown area, I'm still learning more about that.
And we have had opportunity to help promote the farmers market over there and working with Jim Bellamy and some of the other principals. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to take a quick break. We've got this wonderful man who loves Tallahassee, and I think he likes me too, which is kind of
I like you a lot.
Odd. It's really odd. But folks, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks. Greg Tisch in-house, talking about all things Tallahassee and his career and... it just seems like it takes a long time to get things to move because you've got, and I think of those hapless souls that then get themselves elected as, especially the county commissioners, because they're truly representing one of those quadrants, one of those districts, right? Kristen Dozier has said, I'm done, you know.
I'm done, yeah.
So I think there's, to last count, I thought 5 or 6 people have thrown their hat in the ring.
That's going to be a very popular race. I think there will be more. But that's the thing that you want to do, that you want to get into a race, especially if you're a first time running, where the incumbent is done.
Yeah.
It's a free for all. Squeak by and then make it to the runoff and then to try to get in there. Because county commissioner, that's a good gig, too. I mean, with being able to help, but also that's a good gig.
I mean, it is. And at the same time, I wonder how they are able to better represent than all of these diversities, because they do represent this block. And as you point out, if I'm District 4 and I'm part of that bubble that you're talking about, well, what the heck do I know about the people down on this southeast side of town? And unless I make it my business to go further into those neighborhoods. And I think that's where Jeremy Matlow has helped us better appreciate the city landscape, because he's a guy who grew up in those neighborhoods, you know, living in his mom's car, and bringing to us a conversation about, you know, while you're building these marvelous infrastructures and you're taking care of, you know, the parks and the buildings that you're putting up, you know, there are people down there who don't have sidewalks. How do you see that when you're talking with people? Because these people are on your show all the time. Do you find that they are kind of resolute in trying to get their point through, or are they receptive to others?
I think the reception to others. I think with the elected officials, I mean, we look at my friend and the elected official on my side, mm-hmm. Welch,
yeah.
That he, you know, he's very receptive to everything that's going on. You look at Nick, that he's got the entire county, that he's at large. Mm-hmm. I think with Kristen's district, that you look at where her district is, that covers the gamut. Of that's quote big, unquote status.
It's a big, yeah.
It's a large district. I think that everybody that they can work together and then bring in. But if you just had, and I'm not throwing Welch under the bus here, but it was just Welch, you know, running stuff. And I'm just using him as an example.
Sure.
Northeast side trying to make decisions for everybody.
That wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't work at all. And that's why they have the districts. But I think it's great for somebody that represents the South side to say, hey, you know, y'all got all this stuff up there. You know, why don't we have sidewalks? Oh my gosh, let's work on your sidewalks. But then it should be the same too, to when the Northeast side says, hey, we don't have access to park. We don't have like all the other districts have like a softball area to go to.
I remember sitting at a luncheon with this woman who is a manager of a credit union up on the northwest side of town. And I asked her, do you like what they're doing with Cascades Park? And this was back at the time when they were just putting the finishing touches. She not only didn't know what it was.
She didn't know where it was.
She didn't care.
Yeah.
She said, I mean, we just rarely come into the city. So, again, sort of eye-opening for me to be able to say, yeah, there are a number of Tallahassees that are in various quadrants, you've said, different parts of the community. And they're also at different levels of elevation. So I go back to my CPA friend who says, man, these people, they're just walking around on a cloud of air. But then you had the people that you're hanging with who are like, no, I'm just trying to get it done. I'm working myself to death. A lot of owner-operated businesses mm-hmm. in Tallahassee looking for that next opportunity to keep the doors open.
And as we've saw with the last couple of years, with so many of our friends that have closed their doors,
right.
And it's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to see some of the staples that have closed in our town the last couple of years. That talking to these business owners and you try to help them
as best you can,
and to get people in their doors to keep them open. And use Mike at Cabo's.
Yeah,
that he just so desperately wanted to keep his employees employed.
Yeah,
he wasn't concerned. They weren't concerned for themselves.
Yeah.
They were concerned with keeping their employees that had been so loyal to them employed.
There you go.
And that's why I love Mike.
Yeah. And there are a number of Mikes out there who mm-hmm. continue to do that, are still in operation. I think of Wood and Glass. They have been in business since 1945.
Wow.
And they're struggling, too, with all the same issues. But theirs is an industry that is more difficult to supply with able talent, because glass has its own rules. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're just not doing it. And so to find people who are that skillful or who are willing to learn, that's a challenge. And I think that's true in a lot of different industries. We're going to have to say goodbye, but I wanted to ask you one last thing, too.
Okay.
When you think about the next 5 years, and we'll gloriously assume that the Greg Tisch Show, by that time, audiences will be even more appreciative and probably have tripled, maybe quadrupled in size.
So John would like, my general manager,
John
would
be very happy about that.
Right. As would I, and as would Matt.
Well, I know John's listening, so I'm going to say that's going to happen.
Okay.
That way you and I can go have lunch and it'll be fine. What do you see? What do you see happening over the next 5 years, whether it's something you forecast or just something you'd like to see achieved?
I'd like to see us come back together. There's such a split with everybody. Well, here's what I would like. You and I, or anybody, we can disagree on whatever issues, but that if we're out and we're having a beer, that we just can still be friends. That's the thing that has been so, I guess, dividing, is that people are dropping lifelong friends because they don't agree with something, an issue that they believe in. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, and I think that goes back to my high school days, that I didn't have like one group that I hung mm-hmm. out with, that I hung out with everybody. Mm-hmm. And that you're not going to be able to please everybody, but you can be everybody's friend. Mm. And to be able to the next 5 years to kind of bring this community back together. I know we're about to celebrate, we're coming up 2 years from our 200th anniversary here, mm-hmm. and maybe that'll bring the city closer together, because there's still parts of this city, neighborhoods of this city that people, like you said, don't know exist. As your friend on the Northwest side didn't know anything about Cascades. There's people that have no idea what's going on. And it'll be so wonderful to have so many more people involved in this community. And that's what I would love to see in the next 5 years, because we can do great things, as you know. This community has a huge heart. Tremendous. But there's a lot of hearts out there that just aren't involved.
Haven't been touched yet.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
The untouched.
And I would love to see that.
Well, he's the friend of you and me and many, Greg Tisch, who hosts The Greg Tisch Show with Matty Rowe every weekday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Real Talk, 93.3 FM here in Tallahassee. If you need a friend, you just got one, because all you got to do is tune in and Greg Tisch will be your friend, because he loves everybody. That's just how he rolls. Greg, thanks for being here.
Thank you, brother. I greatly appreciate this. This wasn't as bad as I thought. The last time, it was, 10 years ago, I think, was the last time I was on. And so this was great. So thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity,
my brother. We're in better health now.
Good.
And probably in a better mental state than we were then.
This is great.
Folks, we are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, bringing you all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. That is The Sound of Tallahassee on Moose Magnificat streaming radio, moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.